Hello and welcome to episode number 6. This is another special report. Again, this is Kenny Brown. I am joined by Stephen Butler.
Hey.
Stephen Butler is going to give us our fourth installment of regional reports from Denver. Stephen is a somewhat new player, but turns out he's freaking amazing at Imperial Assault, as he is going to tell us. But first off, just a few quick things. We want to thank everybody again for downloading and listening to the podcast. Please go onto iTunes and leave us a 5-star review or give us some constructive feedback. We would love to hear anything from you. Also, we love any input either on the forums, at our email, which is at zionsfinestia@gmail.com. And we love to hear from you. So if you have anything, please turn it over to us. But right now, let us turn it over to Stephen to tell us how he did at Denver Regionals.
All right. Thanks, Kenny. Okay, so a quick recap. So my list, we talked about it a few episodes ago. But so I'm running Scum Hunters with double Elite Weequays, Vinto, Java, Elite Claudite, Gideon, 3PO, Jawa, Temporary Alliance, and Black Market. So my first round, I played against a fellow Zion's Finest member, Aaron Ross. He was running Kotu, Okada, Elite Rangers, Gideon, 3PO. I think he has something else in there. But we were playing on Jabba's Palace, new ownership. And so we started out and I tanked up. I was able to focus and hit in all my weak ways, and I was on the side with the stairs.
Steven, let me interrupt you for a second. Give us the idea of your list. Like, what are you looking to do with it in terms of, because when you say focus up, yeah, I know what you're intending to do with it, but just like give the listeners like what your list is supposed to do.
Yeah. Okay. So the idea of my list is a very, very heavy alpha strike. So I put in the Claudite in there to give either extra damage or extra survivability. But my real goal is before any shooting happens, I want to have 4 elite weak ways, all with focus tokens, all hidden. I want to have Vinto focused. I want to have my Claudite focused if I can. And I want power tokens for my Claudite. I'm either going to drop 2 surges onto Vinto to make his first dive-in attack more powerful, or I'm going to be putting the evade the surge block onto the weak ways, depending on what I'm playing against, to try and make it so they can survive an extra hit if I'm fighting other weak ways or other things that need surges for damage or range, so that I can get multiple rounds of attacks off from my weak ways.
Makes sense.
Yeah, so I usually try to just hold back as long as I can, because generally the longer things go before the shooting starts, the better off I am.
Makes sense.
What I really don't want to happen is I don't want any shooting to happen round one. Okay, so then, so into the reports, round one was against Aaron Ross. He was running Drokata, Kotun, Elite Alliance Rangers, Gideon 3PO. I think he had Hera in there.
He did.
Yeah. And so we're playing on Jabba's Palace. I'm on the side that has the stairs by the terminal. I didn't open my door. I shifted over to the stairs, kind of lined up my weak ways in a line, got them all focused and hidden. No shooting round one, which is great for me. And then he brought Drokata in around the side, and I had a weak way that he could get line of sight on. And he just dropped a massive attack. But I had on the lamb. And so I just, I ran the weak way back down for 3 or 4 steps. So I didn't get, didn't take any damage or blast or anything from that. And then I was able to just roll out my weak ways and kill Drokata, unanswered, because Drokata was kind of by himself.
Ooh, that's brutal.
And then that was a few activations into round two, I think. Or towards the end of round two. I don't remember which. But yeah. So then when the doors opened, I was able to bomb Vin and kill his Gideon and deal significant damage to an Alliance Ranger. And then he invested a lot into killing Vinto, and then my weak rays were just able to press forward and clean up from there. Because I think I one-shotted or two-shotted Kotoon, and then it was Rangers versus weak rays, but his Rangers weren't focused because the first couple rounds he had focused Kotoon and he had focused Okada. So that was that. That was that round. I feel like my list is pretty good against a lot of the Rebel Hero type lists. My next round's another Rebel Hero type list. Cause a lot of you've got a few Rebel Heroes, like you've got Luke and Chewie and Han that are pretty solid and pretty durable. But a lot of the Rebel Heroes, like Jin and Lando and Hera, if I get off a good roll, I can one-shot them with a weak way.
Yeah, it's true. Pretty much every other Rebel Hero, besides the ones you talked about, require some form of card play in order to stay alive.
Yeah. And even if they do stay alive by one health, I can just dive in with Vinto and Bolt Sling onto them.
Good point. Great point.
Round two, I was playing against Matthew Lusk, and he was running Chewie, Leia, Ahsoka, Hera, Chopper, Gideon, 3PO, Heroic Effort, and Rebel High Command. We were playing Line of Fire on Anchorhead. And so what was interesting about this, so he was on the side away from the boxes. So I was on the side that just had the hallway looking straight down to the boxes. And he used Ram from Chopper and on a mission, and he pushed his Ahsoka next to one of the crates, which he then picked up Ahsoka and jumped Ahsoka back behind his front line. So
it's so interesting.
In round one, he had a crate with Ahsoka in position to drop it off beginning of round two, which he did, which in some cases, I think that might have not been a bad move. But against my list, that meant I got two rounds of not having to worry about Ahsoka.
Yeah, I get what he's trying to do, and I think it's a really cool idea, but I see what he's trying to do, and I can see how that would work out. But like most of Ahsoka's strength is the fact that she just represents this threat that your enemy continually has to account for. Because if you move someone out and isn't thinking, someone's going to get picked off, which is just awesome. But then when you lock her down, it's like, okay, she has a chance. You know she's going to get 10 points. But then it's like, okay, but that's 10 points that he's not going to get by killing somebody.
Yeah. I mean, especially because focused Ahsoka probably like almost guaranteed kills a weak way.
Oh yeah.
With her rerolls. So I mean, yeah, so I was totally okay with that plan. Again, I focused my weak ways, I hid them. I didn't open my door round one, and then I just stalled round two. Early to mid round two, I played Intelligence League with my Claudite. And I took the three strain to get rid of Debts Repaid, because he was running Chewie with the new upgrade, which actually is one of my favorite things about the Claudite is if I'm playing against a Chewie, I know that as soon as I get Intel Leak, I can get rid of that card.
Yeah, I know. That's I wonder, obviously I don't think they were thinking of that when they played the card that way. Because I would almost think if I have a Chewie list and I'm lined up against a Scum, I'm not going to do Debts Repaid. It's a may or is it a must, you know?
It's a must.
Oh, dead gummit. Yeah,
and I actually, mean, because if you don't have it in your deck, you only start the game with two command cards.
Oh my gosh.
Because it says you draw fewer card and you start with Death's Repaid.
I just think there's just too much of a risk there, right? Like, because they're going to get, once they get their card, once they get Intelligence Leak, you're losing your, like, most valuable card. Yeah. What a bummer.
Yep.
Yep, it is. It is a must. Dang.
Yeah. Well, so then I just kind of hid behind my door. And he had initiative, so I was going to get to go last. And I just stalled out. It came down to, it was activations left. He had Hera, Chewie, and Leia. And they were all close to my door. Then I had my two sets of weak ways and I had Vento. And he opted to move Hera to the end of my hallway, take a shot at Vento, and then take a step back. He got a couple damage on Vento. I ran out Vento, got Hera down to one health. And then it was his move. And he was in a really tight spot because I had my weak ways positioned so I could open the door and take a shot with one weak way. Then the rest of them could all take two steps up and shoot and then step back if they needed to. So he opted to open the door with Chewie and then use the free slam to get some damage in and then pull Chewie around the corner, just like one step. And I think his thought was he would then be able to bring in Leia, shoot with Leia and Chewie, kill a couple weak ways and be in a decent spot. But I moved my two weak ways out and I was able to drop an assassinate and kill Leia with my two weak ways.
It's huge.
Yeah, so that was huge. And it really helped that I had done Intelligence Leak because that meant Chewie didn't get to activate. He didn't get to Debts Repaid. I could kill Leia first without having to worry about that. And so then I brought my other pair of weak ways up and dropped a few more cards. Dropped like a wild attack and a tools for the job because Chewie doesn't get the dodge.
Yeah.
So wild attack is great against Chewie.
Yeah, you just know you're going to get free damage on that.
Yeah. And so after the first weak way attack, I dropped, I think it was 7 or 8 damage on Chewie with that attack. And then moved the other weak way up to shoot, and my opponent conceded because I was going to have initiative. I knew he didn't have take initiative in his hand. Either way, I had negation. And so I was going to get my other focused hidden weak way attack. Chewie was either going to die or be down pretty low. At the beginning of next round, I was going to roll up with Vento. And if Chewie wasn't dead, I was going to finish off Chewie and Hera. And by that point, he's down Chewie, Hera, and Leia, and he's only dealt 2 damage to me. And so he thought, Ahsoka might have been able to clean up, but...
No, she's not coming back from that. Ahsoka's going to go down to 2 weak way attacks, so...
Yeah, so... it was just... biding my time really, really was hard for his list. Just me hanging out in that corner. But yeah, that Ahsoka move, I think, really clinched it for me.
All right, so round 3.
Yep, so round 3, I played against John Glasser.
Oh, yes. Spoiler alert, which we already are aware of, the eventual champion winner, or the tournament winner.
I got to play against him twice, actually. So round 3, we were playing on Raining Freight on Nal Hutta. He was running Vader, Pout, E-Jets, and Officers, and Zillow. So I can pretty much describe this game in one sentence. I took the bait on Pout, and I engaged him round 1. And okay. Vader...
Which you said is the thing your list does not want to do.
Yep. And I didn't do what I was supposed to do. He came up the short alley side, pushed Pout forward first, and I thought maybe I could take him out with my weak ways. I jumped around the corner and started taking shots on Pout, but then he moved Vader forward and blocked line of sight on Pout, and then Pout just, I mean, or Vader just kills weak ways.
Yeah, I mean, he literally will be one-shotting. Yeah, I mean, the odds of him, I'm gonna do the math here in a second, but the odds of him not one-shotting a weak way are very, very small. I'm gonna do the math right now.
Yeah. And even with his end of round attack, he can't, I don't think he can one-shot a weak way with it.
He can, but, not terribly likely.
If he rolls double red and I roll the surge block.
Or if you just roll one damage, three. I mean. Yeah,
or
exactly.
One, yeah, because he's got the built-in extra.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's just taking him down. Meanwhile, Palp is tempting 3PO.
Yep.
And I'm just on a clock. And I didn't ever attack Vader, so I don't know if that was the right move. Well, really, how I should have played, I should have held back. It's raining freight. He's not going to get that many points.
Yeah, because his activation... Oh, I guess he does have officers, but they're not going to be... I mean, once they come up, you've got the range to kind of pick them off.
Yeah, and we're only dropping... I'm dropping two, and he's dropping two crates each round.
Yeah,
good point. And if I don't pick up any crates, I'm not dropping any crates.
Yeah, good point.
So I can stall out. I should have just stalled out, waited until I was all tokened up. And the more I think about this, I think the correct thing to do in this matchup is wait till Vader gets close enough that you can just move in and just unload all of your weak clots, use a street rat clodite, and dive in and just unload everything you can into Vader.
That's interesting you say that, because I would think my strategy is to try and commit everything to remove Palp, because I think Palp just adds so much value to those stupid E-Jets, you know, as the game keeps going. So I mean I totally get what you're saying, and if things worked out that way, that would just be awesome. But yeah, it's just interesting that we've got different opinions on like what you need to do. Of course, you have got insane alpha, which I don't have.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, so that's that, and we'll come back to that matchup in a minute, because he was my first round opponent in the top eight. But so then my round four, I played against Daniel Perez. Daniel is a really fun guy to play against. He's super nice. And I was playing up, so it's 3-0, and I was 2-1. But
oh yeah, Daniel was my first opponent in the top eight. He's a super cool guy.
Yeah, and his list was pretty cool. It's Obi-Wan, Han, Jin, Lando, Gideon, Hera, R2, and 3PO. So we played on the not under new ownership Jabba's map, the other one, where you pick up the crates and you can carry them around.
Yep.
So what I thought was interesting in his approach, and I thought it was a bad idea at first, but actually turned out really good for him, and I didn't realize how great you could do with this, but he picked up a crate with Lando right away. I think he might have picked up one with Jin too pretty early on. And then he parked Lando where he could take one step out and shoot, and then take one step back. So he only needed two movement to come out, and he was getting those 2 points every turn.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So he was on the stairs side of Jabba's Palace, and I was on the other side, the stairs by the terminal side. I was on the other side, and again, I tried to token up, get my focuses, and hit him first round. There wasn't really a shooting first round, which was, again, I was happy about. Then we opened our doors, and his Obi-Wan was, like, right on my doorstep when I opened my door. I was able to kill Obi-Wan in two weak way shots.
Ooh, that's brutal. Not, like, totally unexpected, but still kind of brutal.
Yeah. Well, actually, so the first... I think it was either the first or second one of the early activations of round two, I switched my Claudite to the Scout form, and I sniped out 3PO from his
that he was setting up. That's awesome.
Yeah, sniped him out, got rid of that, and then I took out Obi-Wan, and then he got a shot off with Jen. I activated my Weequays that were behind my other figures, so he didn't get the free Jen shot, and I was able to come around to get line of sight on Jen, and got a good roll and one-shotted Jen.
Oh, wow.
So again, so in a lot of these matchups against Rebel Heroes, there's a lot of them that one or two, like even some of the harder ones, like Obi-Wan has got he's a solid figure.
Yeah. But
with a card or two and two focused hidden Weequay shots, he goes down fast still.
Yeah. I mean, nothing's going to live against that except Vader.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like that is just so much firepower, and with the 100 cards and rerolls and everything, it's so good.
Yeah. And so, I mean, we traded back and forth. He was killing stuff. I was killing stuff. And it got down to, it got down to Han versus, I still had Jabba, a Jawa, Gideon, and two Weequays left against just Han. I hadn't shot Han yet because I didn't want the free shot back. But because he had been picking up the crates with Lando, and he picked up a crate with R2 and then moved R2 back, and was like drawing his cards and getting points. I think he had 35 points. Maybe he had 37. No, I think he had 37 points. Because all he needed to do was kill one of my Weequays, and he won the game.
Oh, wow.
And so there was no way I was killing Han. And so I hadn't used On the Lam yet to this point. And so I picked up a box with a Weequay who had 4 damage on him. And everything else was out of sight for Han to be able to shoot. He shoots the Weequay, and the Weequay is standing next to the Rancor pit. And so I On the Lammed down the Rancor pit.
Yeah.
I had drawn my entire deck, so I took the 1 damage. If it had been my other Weequay, which had 5 damage on him, I wouldn't have been able to do that. And then, so then that was his Han. So I moved everyone else out of the way. I picked up a box with my Weequay that had 5 damage on it, and with my Jawa. And those, so I got 6 points from boxes that round, and I was at like 34. And so that put me to the win, before he got his end of round Han shot. But man, his end of round so Han awesome. Shot would have been, it would have been on, I think Jabba's the only one he could shoot. So chances of him doing 10 damage are not impossible,
which is, isn't that crazy that we say that about Han? Not impossible. Not likely, yeah. But not impossible.
Yep. So that was, that game was so close. And I was super tense the whole time because.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Because if I beat Daniel, I was guaranteed a spot in the top 8.
Yeah.
If I lost to Daniel, then I had to rely on my strength of schedule to get me into the.
So you win, and now we're making it into the top cut.
Yep. So made the top cut, and exactly what I didn't want to happen, I sit down again against John.
Classic.
And so, yeah. So I sit down against John. We're playing the Anchorhead map with the patrons. And
which is a good map for him.
Yeah, it's a great map for him. Because he kills a few Weequays, you know, kills a Jawa, kills 3PO, kills Gideon, and all of a sudden 20 points, and his officers and his jets pick him up and done.
Yep.
So this time, again, I was on My favorite side of this map, the one with the long hallway, which I think is great for the scum alpha, because you don't open your door, you just wait and you get all your tokens, and either open your door, like we saw in round two, and I just start getting free weak way shots, or they come around and I can shoot them. So he brings Vader and Palp down, not quite around the corner, but he brings them down into that area. And I was able to, second round, run my weak ways up around the corner and actually kill Palp. So that was huge. Killing Palp right there.
That's huge.
But I just didn't, I couldn't pull it out. That was big, but Vader was able to take down Vinto and then just start cutting through my weak ways, and actually came pretty close. I was to the point where I needed to kill one jet trooper and then get the rest of the patrons. And then I think that would have put me at 39. So then I was hoping for a black market for the last point.
Oh yeah. Okay. Which is totally doable.
Yeah. So that's where I was at. The problem is he just parked his jet troopers on top of the patrons.
Yeah, he knew what he was doing. He's a great player.
Yeah, so I have to control them in order to get the patrons. And so I might have been able to pull it out the next round. Except I had my Claudite was camped on the last. He had three of the patrons. And he just needed the fourth one and like two more points to win. And he, so I had my Claudite camped on one of them, and I only had one health left. And his Vader was five spaces away, I want to say. No, his Vader was four spaces away. But he was far enough away that he couldn't move. He needed three actions, right? He couldn't move, kill me, and claim the patron.
Yeah.
But then he used, I keep forgetting the name of the card. I think it's the Dark Energy. You deal a damage and push a character one space.
Yep. Two spaces away, I think spaces. It is. Or maybe it is. It might be three, but it is just one space as opposed to Force Push, which is two spaces.
Yeah. And so he moves up next to the Claudite, plays that, deals the last damage on the Claudite, gets those 6 points, claims the patron.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it was a really cool move. I was trying really, really hard to pull that out in the end. I did way better the second time. I knew it was coming, but the map was definitely to his advantage.
Anchorhead is just, I mean, that is Vader's map, because in order to get those 20 points, you have got to put your people out, right? And you put your people out, and Vader's going to kill him. And, I mean, his list does not have incredible range, but its short and medium range damage is so high.
Yeah.
And so awesome.
Yep. But yeah. So my take is scum hunters are really good still. The Claudite just makes them better. Giving them access to spy cards. At that tournament, I was running Intel Leak and Strategic Shift. I think going forward, I might cut Strategic Shift.
Yeah, Strategic Shift is... It's only good if you're playing against someone who's going to be drawing, you know, like Rebel High Command plus R2-D2 or Jabba plus something. I guess Black Market. I mean, it's good if your opponent is going to get to 7-8 cards the start of round two, which is not unfeasible for either of those lists. And so if you can then reduce that to 2 cards, you're going to win the game. But I didn't play any mercenaries at the regional, and it just seems like the Jabba Black Market, I think it will always have a spot in the meta, but it's just not going to be as prevalent.
Yeah. So, and it's a 1 point card, so I can put in another 1 point card.
Yeah.
I'm torn over Vinto right now.
What? You should never be torn over Vinto. The correct choice is always play Vinto.
Because I do. I really like Vinto, but sometimes he just he just does like 2 damage. Like you run him out.
That's true.
And yeah, or you don't get your surges, and so now you're just like, oh, I rolled 2 damage and a surge, and you blocked my surge and 1 damage.
Exactly. I rolled surge, 3 accuracy. So
yeah.
Yeah, it's so true.
I'm not sure what I want to try in place of him yet. I mean, it's 5 points, so I might just try Greedo. And
Greedo's good.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't actually ever seen it played, but with my list, I think Devious Scheme might be worth it.
Good point.
Because there are a lot of maps where there is one side that is way better for my list.
Yeah, it's a great point.
And then giving them initiative automatically is round one is also big. Because if they don't...
Huge.
If they don't draw take initiative, then I'm where I want to be round two if it comes to shooting first activation round two.
I totally agree with that. And I think the thing is that end of round... end of round activations are important because we've got Han and Vader out there, but the ability to control and making sure you're going to have initiative at the start of round two. I mean, Devious Scheme, its value, it kind of goes up and down depending on whatever is in the meta. You know, Scum Hunters just running at each other. It doesn't totally matter who's got initiative. I mean, they're just going to blow each other apart.
Yeah.
When you've got Ugnaughts, maybe that's a different story because whoever's got initiative on like Raining Freight and now Hutta is going to win. But again, it's like one of those things where, you know, there's a few times where it works, obviously, with the Banth that worked amazing. But now I think it's getting back to a place where being able to make sure you have initiative to start round two is going to be really big.
Yeah. One thing I forgot to mention about playing against Daniel Perez is one thing that I loved that he did is he actually would activate Han not last, like relatively early on usually. He would like move Han out, take a shot when he had a good opportunity, then move back. And then he would save Gideon for his last activation.
And he would, that's really cool.
Focus Han and then move Han into a good position to take a shot at the end of the round.
It's the reason why I really like that is because Gideon is not the one who is getting, like, Gideon is not getting exposed, right? Han is the one that you're putting out there, but if it's your last activation, like, that's the whole point. It's much safer. So it's safer for Han and safer for Gideon.
Yeah. Yep. It was a great strategy.
Yeah. Daniel is a very cool guy, and he you can tell people who have played a certain iteration or just know what they're doing in terms of like they know a particular mechanic that they need to make sure they're using to its fullest potential. And Daniel is one, obviously Grasser's another, you know, he knew exactly what he needed to do with Vader and his E-Jets in terms of soaking up damage, spreading out damage. And it's just really cool to see things like that.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, cool. So do you have any other concluding thoughts, Steven, in terms of like the meta, where you think the meta is going to go here in the future? Anything, any pearls of wisdom you'd like to share with us?
Not yet. I mean, we're getting a map rotation.
That's true.
Supposedly. And I think depending on what map we get, I mean, it could potentially be pretty big because Anchorhead is such a good map for Vader. That if we get one that is not good for melee units, but thinking about it, I highly doubt that because we've got a sniper map. And we've got Jabba's Palace, which is kind of, I mean, pretty much everyone's got a spot in Jabba's Palace because there's a heavy melee side and then there's the doors where you got the long range.
Yeah, it's true.
There are a lot of interesting maps in these new Allied Villain packs though that I think would be cool to see.
Yeah, it's going to be it is going to be interesting to see what they pick. I think it is tough to get better for melee units, not melee units. I'm going to say specifically brawler units like Luke and Vader and like Vader that Lords of the Sith list than Anchorhead.
Yeah.
It's possible that they can get one that's just as friendly, but I think it's definitely going to push it a little bit more away from that, which will be nice because Anchorhead was the worst list for the box because it's really hard for me to get card draw and anything that is serious in terms of like heavyweight units is instantly in my face. And so it was always tough to play against that list. I'll be glad to see it go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if that is all we got, we would like to thank Steven for giving us an excellent report from our Denver, Colorado regional. We have got our IA regional for Utah. It's going to be coming up in almost a month, which is crazy to think. It's going to be a ton of fun. Steven's going to win himself some more dice.
Yeah, hopefully make top eight again.
Thanks, Jay. Again, we would like to thank everybody for subscribing and downloading the podcast. Again, please go into iTunes and leave us a 5-star review or any constructive feedback that you'd like. If you have any comments or suggestions, please send them to our email, zionsfinestia@gmail.com. We've also got a Slack channel that we use. It's mostly a local Slack channel, but we use it as just an ongoing forum in terms of talking about list building, coordinating games on Vassal, you know, just as a general community forum. And if anyone would be interested in joining that, just send your email to zionsfinestia@gmail.com and we will make sure that we get you an invite for it. We would love to get people on our community discussing with us, talking about IA and everything they'd love to see. So anyway, that's what we got for this week. Thank you, Stephen, for coming on.
Yeah, thank you, Kenny.
Everyone have a good day. Goodbye.
Bye.